Chapter 11. Saved. At the very same unhappy juncture, a fleet of laden ships were coming from the north, and being just crossing the same bay, were forcibly driven into it, not able to weather the Ness, and so were involved in the same ruin as the light fleet was. Also some coasting vessels laden with corn from Lynn and Wells, and bound for Holland, were with the same unhappy luck just come out to begin their voyage, and some of them lay at anchor. These also met with the same misfortune, so that, in the whole, above 200 sail of ships, and above 1,000 people, perished in the disaster of that one miserable night, very few escaping. Cromer is a market town close to the shore of this dangerous coast. I know nothing it is famous for besides it being thus the terror of the sailors, except good lobsters, which are taken on that coast in great numbers and carried to Norwich, and in such quantities sometimes too, as to be conveyed by sea to London. Farther within the land, and between this place and Norwich, are several good market towns, and innumerable villages, all diligently applying to the woolen manufacture, and the country is exceedingly fruitful and fertile, as well in corn as in pastures. Particularly, which was very pleasant to see, the pheasants were in such great plenty, as to be seen in the stubbles like cocks and hens a testimony though, by the way, that the county had more tradesmen than gentlemen in it. Indeed, this part is so entirely given up to industry, that what with the seafaring men on the one side, and the manufacturers on the other, we saw no idle hands here, but every man busy on the main affair of life, that is to say, getting money. Some of the principal of these towns are Elsham, North Walsham, South Walsham, Worstead, Caston, Reefham, Holt, Saxthorpe, St. Faith's, Blickling, and many others. Near the last, Sir John Hobart, of an ancient family in this county, has a noble seat, but old built. This is at St. Faith's, where the drovers bring their black cattle, to sell to the Norfolk graziers, as is observed above. From Cromer we ride on the strand, or open shore to Weyburn Hope, the shore so flat, that in some places the tide ebbs out near 2 miles. From Weyburn west lies Clye, where there are large salt works and very good salt made, which is sold all over the county, and sometimes sent to Holland, and to the Baltic. From Clye we go to Masham and to Wells, all towns on the coast, in each whereof there is a very considerable trade carried on with Holland for corn, which that part of the county is very full of. I say nothing of the great trade driven here from Holland, back again to England, because I take it to be a trade carried on with much less honesty than advantage, especially while the clandestine trade, or the art of smuggling was so much in practice. What it is now to my present purpose. Near this town lie the seven Burnhams, as they are called, that is to say, seven small towns, all called by the same name, and each employed in the same trade of carrying corn to Holland, and bringing back, etc. From hence we turn to the southwest to Castle Rising, an old decayed borough town, with perhaps not 10 families in it, which yet, to the scandal of our prescription right, sends 2 members to the British Parliament, being as many as the city of Norwich itself, or any town in the kingdom, London excepted, can do. On our left we see Walsingham, an ancient town, famous for the old ruins of a monastery of note there, and the shrine of Our Lady, as noted as that of St. Thomas a Becket at Canterbury, and for little else. Near this place are the seats of the 2 light families of the Lord Viscount Townsend and Robert Walpole Esquire semicolon the latter at this time one of the Lord's Commissioners of the Treasury and Minister of State, and the former one of the principal Secretaries of State to King George, of which again. From hence we went to Lynn, another rich and populous thriving port town. It stands on more ground than the town of Yarmouth, and has, I think, parishes, yet I cannot allow that it has more people than Yarmouth, if so many. It is a beautiful, well-built, and well-situated town, at the mouth of the River Ouse, and has this particular attending it, which gives it a vast advantage in trade. namely, that there is the greatest extent of inland navigation here of any port in England, London excepted. The reason whereof is this, that there are more navigable rivers empty themselves here into the sea, including the washes, which are branches of the same port, than at any one mouth of waters in England, except the Thames and the Humber. By these navigable rivers, the merchants of Lynn supply about 6 counties wholly, and 3 counties in part, with their goods, especially wine and coals, viz. By the Little Ouse, they send their goods to Brandon and Thetford, by the lake to Moldenhall, Barton Mills, and St. Edmundsbury, by the River Grant to Cambridge, by the Great Ouse itself to Ely, to St. Ives, to St. Neots, to Barford Bridge, and to Bedford, by the River Nine to Peterborough, by the drains and washes to Wisbech, to Spalding, Market Deeping, and Stamford. Besides the several counties, into which these goods are carried by land carriage, from the places where the navigation of those rivers end, which has given rise to this observation on the town of Lynn, that they bring in more coals than any seaport between London and Newcastle, and import more wines than any port in England, except London and Bristol, their trade to Norway, and to the Baltic Sea is also great in proportion, and of late years they have extended their trade farther to the southward. Here are more gentry, and consequently is more gaiety in this town than in Yarmouth, or even in Norwich itself, the place abounding in very good company. The situation of this town renders it capable of being made very strong, and in the late wars it was so, a line of fortification being drawn round it at a distance from the walls, the ruins, or rather remains of which works appear very fair to this day, nor would it be a hard matter to restore the bastions, with the ravelins, and counterscarp, upon any sudden emergency, to a good state of defense, and that in a little time, a sufficient number of workmen being employed, especially because they are able to fill all their ditches with water from the sea, in such a manner as that it cannot be drawn off. There is in the marketplace of this town a very fine statue of King William on horseback, erected at the charge of the town. The house is mighty large and deep, close to the very town itself, and ships of good burthen may come up to the quay, but there is no bridge, the stream being too strong, and the bottom moorish and unsound, nor, for the same reason, is the anchorage computed the best in the world, but there are good roads farther down. They pass over here in boats into the fen country, and over the famous washes into Lincolnshire, but the passage is very dangerous and uneasy, and where passengers often miscarry and are lost, but then it is usually on their venturing at improper times, and without the guides, which if they would be persuaded not to do, they would very rarely fail of going or coming safe. From Lynn I bent my course to Downham, where is an ugly wooden bridge over the house, from whence we passed the fen country to Wisbech, but saw nothing that way, to tempt our curiosity but deep roads, innumerable drains and dikes of water, all navigable, and a rich soil, the land bearing a vast quantity of good hemp, but a base unwholesome air, so we came back to Ely, whose cathedral, standing in a level flat country, is seen far and wide, and of which town, when the minster, so they call it, is described, everything remarkable is said, that there is room to say. And of the minster, this is the most remarkable thing, that I could hear it, namely, that some of it is so ancient, totters so much with every gust of wind, looks so like a decay, and seems so near it, that whenever it does fall, all that it is likely will be thought strange in it will be that it did not fall 100 years sooner. From hence we came over the house, and in a few miles to Newmarket. In our way, near Snaebel, we saw a noble seat of the late Admiral Russell, now Earl of Orford, a name made famous by the glorious victory obtained under his command over the French fleet, and the burning their ships at La Hogue, a victory equal in glory to, and infinitely more glorious to the English nation in particular, than that at Blenheim, and, above all, more to the particular advantage of the Confederacy, because it so broke the heart of the naval power of France, that they have not fully recovered it to this day. But of this victory it must be said it was owing to the haughty, rash, and insolent orders given by the King of France to his admiral, viz. To fight the Confederate fleet wherever he found them, without leaving room for him to use due caution, if he found them too strong, which pride of France was doubtless a fate upon them, and gave a cheap victory to the Confederates. The French coming down rashly, and with the most impolitic bravery, with about 45 sail to attack between 70 and 80 sail, by which means they met their ruin. Whereas, had their own fleet been joined, it might have cost more blood to have mastered them, if it had been done at all. The situation of this house is low, and on the edge of the fen country, but the building is very fine, the avenues noble, and the gardens perfectly finished. The apartments also are rich, and I see nothing wanting, but a family and heirs to sustain the glory and inheritance of the illustrious ancestor who raised it said Carrot Petibus. These are wanting. Being come to Newmarket in the month of October, I had the opportunity to see the horse races and a great concourse of the nobility and gentry, as well from London as from all parts of England. But they were all so intent, so eager, so busy upon the sharping part of the sport their wagers and bets that to me, they seemed just as so many horse coursers in Smithfield, descending, the greatest of them, from their high dignity and quality to picking one another's pockets, and biting one another as much as possible, and that with such eagerness as that it might be said they acted, without respect to faith, honor, or good manners. There was Mr. Frampton the oldest, and, as some say, the cunningest jockey in England. One day he lost 1,000 guineas, the next he won 2,000, and so alternately he made as light of throwing away 500, or £1,000 at a time as other men do of their pocket money, and as perfectly calm, cheerful, and unconcerned when he had lost £1,000 as when he had won it. On the other side there was Sir R. Fagg, of Sussex, of whom fame says he has the most in him, and the least to show for it relating to jockeyship, of any man there, yet he often carried the prize. His horses, they said, were all cheats, how honest soever their master was, for he scarce ever produced a horse, but he looked like what he was not, and was what nobody could expect him to be. If he was as light as the wind, and could fly like a meteor, he was sure to look as clumsy, and as dirty, and as much like a cart horse as all the cunning of his master, and the grooms could make him, and just in this manner he beat some of the greatest gamesters in the field. I was so sick of the jockeying part, that I left the crowd about the posts, and pleased myself with observing the horses. How the creatures yielded to all the arts and managements of their masters, how they took their airings in sport, and played with the daily heats which they ran over the course before the grand day. But how, as knowing the difference equally with their riders, would they exert their utmost strength at the time of the race itself, and that to such an extremity, that one or two of them died in the stable, when they came to be rubbed after the first heat. Here I fancied myself in the Circus Maximus at Rome seeing the ancient games, and the racings of the chariots and horsemen, and in this warmth of my imagination I pleased and diverted myself more, and in a more noble manner than I could possibly do in the crowds of gentlemen at the weighing and starting posts, and at their coming in, or at their meetings at the coffee houses, and gaming tables after the races were over, where there was little, or nothing to be seen, but what was the subject of just reproach to them, and reproof from every wise man that looked upon them. N.B. Pray take it with you, as you go, you see no ladies at Newmarket, except a few of the neighboring gentlemen's families, who come in their coaches on any particular day to see a race, and so go home again directly. As I was pleasing myself with what was to be seen here, I went in the intervals of the sport, to see the fine seats of the gentlemen in the neighboring county, for this part of Suffolk, being an open champagne country and a healthy air, is formed for pleasure and all kinds of country diversion, nature, as it were, inviting the gentleman to visit her, where she was fully prepared to receive them, in conformity to which kind summons they came, for the country is, as it were, covered with fine palaces of the nobility, and pleasant seats of the gentlemen. The Earl of Orford's house I have mentioned already, the next is Euston Hall, the seat of the Duke of Grafton. It lies in the open country towards the side of Norfolk, not far from Thetford, a place capable of all that is pleasant, and delightful in nature, and improved by art to every extreme, that nature is able to produce. From thence I went to Rushbrook, formerly the seat of the noble family of Germans, lately Lord Dover, and now of the House of Davers. Here nature, for the time I was there, drooped and veiled all the beauties of which she once boasted, the family being in tears and the house shut up. Sir Robert Davers, the head thereof, a knight of the shire for the county of Suffolk, and who had married the eldest daughter of the late Lord Dover, being just dead, and the corpse lying there in its funeral form of ceremony, not yet buried. Yet all looked lovely in their sorrow, and a numerous issue promising, and grown up intimated, that the family of Davers would still flourish, and that the beauties of Rushbrook, the mansion of the family, were not formed with so much art in vain, or to die with the present possessor. After this we saw Brentley, the seat of the Earl of Dysart, and the ancient palace of my Lord Cornwallis, with several others of exquisite situation, and adorned with the beauties both of art and nature, so that I think any traveller from abroad, who would desire to see how the English gentry live, and what pleasures they enjoy, should come into Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, and take but a light circuit among the country seats of the gentlemen on this side only, and they would be soon convinced that not France, no, not Italy itself, can outdo them in proportion to the climate they lived in. I had still the county of Cambridge to visit to complete this tour of the eastern part of England, and of that I come now to speak. We enter Cambridgeshire out of Suffolk, with all the advantage in the world, the county beginning upon those pleasant and agreeable plains called Newmarket Heath, where passing the Devil's Ditch, which has nothing worth notice but its name, and that but fabulous too, from the hills called Gogmagog, we see a rich and pleasant vale westward, covered with cornfields, gentlemen's seats, villages, and at a distance, to crown all the rest, that ancient and truly famous town and University of Cambridge, capital of the county, and receiving its name from, if not, as some say, giving name to it. For if it be true, that the town takes its name of Cambridge from its bridge over the river Cam, then certainly the shire or county, upon the division of England in two counties, had its name from the town, and Cambridgeshire signifies no more or less than the county, of which Cambridge is the capital town. As my business is not to lay out the geographical situation of places, I say nothing of the buttings and boundings of this county. It lies on the edge of the great level, called by the people here the Fen Country, and great part, if not all, the Isle of Ely lies in this county and Norfolk. The rest of Cambridgeshire is almost wholly a corn country, and of that corn 5 parts in 6 of all they sow is barley, which is generally sold to Ware and Royston, and other great malting towns in Hertfordshire, and is the fund from whence that vast quantity of malt, called Hertfordshire malt, is made, which is esteemed the best in England. As Essex, Suffolk, and Norfolk are taken up in manufactures, and famed for industry, this county has no manufacture at all, nor are the poor, except the husbandmen, famed for anything, so much as idleness and sloth, to their scandal be it spoken. What the reason of it is I know not. It is scarce possible to talk of anything in Cambridgeshire but Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.